Lord, trusting you, Lord, to do what you said you would do in your word. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister. Father, through us and to us, Lord, and this night even do that too. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen. Also, be praying. We've got five guys going to Emmaus. And I can tell you the enemy's going to try to fight them to keep them from going. And also, for the very first time ever, when the Emmaus guys they're training for the workers that are training for the upcoming walk, the last training session is going to be right here at church. We're in the fellowship hall. So that's, please remember that and pray for that. And also, the Emmaus is going to have a board meeting that morning over at the fellowship hall. So let's just remember all that in prayer too. But I believe that it's just like it did for the ladies. I believe it's going to do for the guys the same thing. It's going to be awesome. Amen. Has everybody got outlines? If you don't have an outline, raise your hand. You don't have an outline? If you see anybody else don't have, anyone else raises their hands, make sure they get one. This stuff is so good. This is about as deep a meat as you can get. This is filet mignon of communication. It's going to be kind of hard to improve on last week, but I'm just going to have to. This is an addenda to last week. Last week, we really got in depth about the fig leaf and what the fig leaf represented. And so this week, we're going to actually just going to kind of add to what we went to last week. So let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for this night. I thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, God, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And I ask you, Lord, to open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spirits. And Father, let us dwell deep. You said the deep calls to the deep, Lord. We've got problems in this world that are deep. And God, we cannot handle deep problems with shallow remedies. Father, we've got to know this stuff so that we can help people that are struggling. And Lord, you are able to help us do that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, these are tools, and I want to get these tools in as many hands as possible. These are awesome tools. And Lord, help us to use them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Okay, I'm going to kind of just read over the first part where we were at last week, and then we'll jump into this week. You constantly deliver messages that reveal the true disposition of your heart. It's not just what you say, but it's the way you say it, the way you listen to others, and the way you look at others. And we've been going through all kinds of things, but this is the last part of part 5. Last week was part 5A. Of course, it said B, but it was A. And now this is part 5B. The causes of negative communication. We are created to have relationships. God not only wants us to enjoy a personal relationship with Him, but that we develop and experience loving relationships with others. However, our sinfulness gets in the way. Remember Adam's response when God called him out in the garden? It can be paraphrased something like this. I heard you seek to communicate with me. He said, I heard you walking in the garden. I heard you seek to communicate with me, but knowing I had disobeyed, I was afraid you would not love me anymore. Wow. I was afraid you would not love me anymore, and it seemed better to hide so you wouldn't or couldn't see the truth. Wow. How many people in here have you done that before with somebody? Amen. Yeah, I couldn't let you see who I really was, because if I let you see who I really was, you might not love me anymore. You may not respect me anymore. And there's people in your lives that do the same thing every day. There's people at your work. There's people in your family. So again, I don't want to go back over last week, but I kind of want to throw that in there. Actually, it's not my fault. It's the companion you gave me who caused the whole problem. Adam began acting out sin by seeking to meet his needs for love. Here's some basic needs of people. His needs for love, for significance, and for security in a way that he thought best. Healthy, mature communication is the revelation of our true selves to someone who cares about us. Here's always the problem. The risk of rejection can be so intense that we learn different ways to hide our fears and to hide our self-doubts. So here it is. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things, 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. Now, last week was so deep, but it was so awesome. And it was done right here, the hidden agendas. Am I allowing God to meet my emotional needs for love, for significance, and for security? Am I resting in the assurance of my God-given self-worth? When I know that I have all I need in Christ, my heart becomes free to focus on the need of others. And then we went down a whole list of things. And when you walk out, if you didn't get an outline from last week, please get one, because these two together are just, they're just, you know, like the punch and the counter punch. It's just awesome. It's like hitting the devil with a right and a left. Now tonight, hiding places. First, hidden agendas. We talked about last week. Now, hiding places. Since I want to appear perfect, but I know that I'm not. Wow. Hey, when your kids are talking to you, or when somebody's talking to you, and you're supposed to be the answer man, the answer woman, you're supposed to be the one that's got it together. And so you want to appear perfect, but you know you're not. It's easier to avoid conversation. I see this all the time. I see it. I sense it. I can feel it. I've even done it myself. Where you're in here and you know that you don't have the answer. So it's easier, instead of saying, I don't know, or let's work this thing out together, it's easier to just avoid it. If I avoid the conversation, then I don't have to worry about it. All right? That's what people do. I do it. How many here have ever done it? Amen? We all do it, okay? So now, I don't want others to see that I'm anxious, fearful, hurting, angry, or experiencing failure. So because of that, the following rationalizations are a defense mechanism that we often use to avoid revealing the real you to your loved ones. But even though you're hiding it from everybody else, guess who sees it? God. You can hide it from everybody but God. I mean, and yourself, because you can make yourself think all you want, but you eventually it's going to come back to you, all right? When you see these words, when you see these people, when people and or you use these sentences, know that there's a defense mechanism going up, and know there's something a whole lot deeper going on. Jeremiah 23 and 24 says, "Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Did I not fill heaven and earth?" You know, I like this. I like this right here. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in the heavens and the earth, says the Lord? He's everywhere. You can't hide from him. So here, when you hear these right here, know that the potential to avoid conversation, or know that the potential of having a problem that they don't want to deal with. You know, people change when, number one, it hurts so bad they have to. Number two, they get enough information that they can. And so you got somebody who's hurting, they're doing something, they're up to the neck in something, they're defeat, whatever, but they rather feel that pain than the pain of confronting it, because they don't know how to confront it. And if they tell you that they're confronting it, then instead of they're afraid that you won't help them confront it, but instead you will condemn them. So people, many times, especially the closest ones to you, will back up. And here's what they'll use. You go to them and say, "What's wrong? Well, what kind of problem are you having? Or I sense there's something not right." And I hear these all the time. All right, I hear them every day, you know, from people. Here it goes. "What good would it do to talk about it?" If somebody tells you that, what good would it do to talk about it? Know that it's a possible defense mechanism to keep you from opening up whatever it is that's bothering them. Watch this one. Especially man and wife. Why start an argument? If we're going to talk about it, it's going to start an argument. So why do we want to even talk about it? See, it may not start an argument. You don't know because you haven't opened the door. Here's a good one. "I can handle this on my own." Yeah, I've heard that said many a time. I can handle this on my own, especially people that have addictions. I can handle this. I can take care of this. And there's all kinds of addictions, you know. But people, "I can take care of this." Yeah, really. You need somebody to help you. Watch this. "I don't want to worry her. I don't want to worry him." Whether it be kids or whether it be your spouse. Or, here's a biggie, "I'm uncomfortable talking about my problems." Or, "I'm uncomfortable talking about it." Have you ever said it to anybody? I'm uncomfortable talking about it. Now make sure that when you do talk to somebody, you talk to the right one. Don't go talking to the, you know, you heard about those three preachers. I know they were talking about, I think I heard it the other, one of those guys that were here a couple Sunday nights ago. I think they were ones that said it. There were three preachers out on the boat fishing. And they said, we never get a chance to let our hair down and talk about our problems. So let's every one of us just confess something. Make us feel better. Confession is good for the souls. They said, okay. So they asked the first preacher and he said, well, he says, I don't like to admit it. He says, but he says, I like to take me a drink every now and then. He said, okay. And the second preacher says, what's your secret? He says, well, he says, I don't want anybody knowing this either. He said, but I kind of gamble when I get a chance. And so he went to the third guy and said, well, what's your vice? What is it that you got? He said, no. I said, no, tell us, what is it? He said, I just love to gossip. He said, I can't wait to get back home. I'm going to tell all about what y'all been talking about. So you got to watch who you talk to your problems about. I mean, talk to about your problems, because some people are not going to help you. They're going to hurt you. So you got to make sure you're going to the right person. Then, here's a big one. We don't talk about these kind of things in our family. You know, I don't know whether sometimes they've been raised up to think, well, we don't have certain problems in our family. It's not going to happen. Usually what I've discovered as a counselor is the people that say this stuff will never happen in our family, they're the ones that get hit on with it. Here's one. I'm probably just too sensitive. Or humor is the best way to avoid sensitive subjects. Or I just don't have an outgoing personality, okay? I just want to keep it in. Again, if you start hearing these things right here, look at them, remember this. When you start hearing this, usually somebody's putting up a defense mechanism. They're putting up something. They're putting up a shield. They're trying to keep from discussing what really is the actual problem within them that they're afraid to tell you. Because, just like with Adam, I heard you seeking to communicate with me, and I knew that if you found out, you may not love me. You may not like me. You may not want to have anything else to do with me. So it's very important. You know, as a counselor, I all the time I get stuff told to me, and on the inside, I want to go, wow. But on the outside, I'm not going, wow. On the outside, I'm going, tell me more. But on the inside, I'm going, whoa. But you can't do that to them. You know, so you got to be, you got to just sit there. You got to listen to them. And if you're going to do anything, don't show any face at all except for acceptance. Acceptance. If you don't show them acceptance, they'll close up. Somebody can get that close to talking to you, that close to opening up, and all of a sudden you start condemning, it's over. You got to show them love. Go ahead. Well, I've seen guys that have been to school that honestly I wouldn't tell them anything. I've seen guys that never went to school and I wouldn't be afraid to tell them anything. You know what I'm saying? Schooling is training, but a person has to have character. And so when you're talking to the person, you gotta know to talk to somebody that's got character. Training is just like sharpening your axe. But there's guys out there, it's like there's doctors out there that can heal, that they just have a natural gift, a gift from God, and they have a lot of success because they know how to heal. And there's other doctors out there, they're just in it for the money or they're in it for the prestige, and they've learned all these fancy things, and you look at them and they really are not having such a good time, you know, because they don't have that gift. The same way, the exact same way with any job, you can tell somebody's got the gift and they enjoy it. So when you're talking to someone about your problems, you need to make sure, especially if they're involved in your life. Now, there's certain people who will never be involved in your life. You go and you pay a man, you know, whatever, a woman so much money to listen to you. You talk to them, and they'll try to help you come up with a solution. And then there's those that have an MD on the end of their name. The MDs don't just try to help you find a solution. The MDs will even medicate you. Okay? There's three levels, and all three levels many times depends on the severity of the problem. There's pastoral counselors. That's the bottom ground level. The pastoral counselor's with you through the whole thing. They're with you from start to finish. They're in the middle of it. They're there. Then there is a professional counselor. The professional counselor, he's somebody to, or they are somebody to listen to you, and they'll try to help you work out your problems, but they're back here. Pastoral counselor's up there. They're back here. Then you have a psychiatrist who's way on back there, and sometimes he won't let you finish talking before he's already medicated you. I've had people come to me and go, man, I can't even think. I went to a psychiatrist, and I told him my problems. I said, before I even got to tell him my problems, they done put me on this stuff, and I started taking it, and I can't even think. You know, and I said, let's try to think. Okay, so again, all of them had their way, but all of them are okay. There's nothing wrong with any of them. What I'm just saying is, if you have a pastor, anybody that have a pastor, that is, like I said, ground level. That's somebody that's walking with you. Okay, they can feel empathy. The counselor more than likely will feel sympathy. The psychiatrist will feel sympathy, and or he'll use your case study. I'm not saying all of them are like that, because there's some good ones out there. What I'm just saying is, but there comes a time when you need all three of them, because you do need medication. You definitely have a chemical imbalance. You need medication, so you have to have an MD prescribed the medication. You know, so again, there's all those levels. But if talking can help, keep it at the lowest level, unless you just can't tell it. There's some things you just couldn't tell me. You just wouldn't feel comfortable telling me. Then go to a professional counselor and tell them, because they don't know you. Tell them. Because I tell people all the time, I'm not in to find out anything. I'm out here trying to, you know, keep a list. If you want to talk to me, you can. If you don't, that's fine too. You don't even have to tell me. I tell them all the time. Now, you don't have to go that deep. You tell me how when you feel comfortable, you tell me. But most of the time, once people start talking, and they start feeling, you can tell when they start feeling comfortable, because then they start unloading. Okay? And that's okay. That's what I'm here for. But again, if you don't feel comfortable, then go to a professional counselor. That person has taken an oath also not to reveal what they've heard. Bethany, I had her going to a professional counselor, and before she was 18, I could go in and I could talk with the counselor, and we could talk and work out all kinds of strategies. When she turned 18, I went and talked to the counselor, and they said, stop. Can't talk to you. I said, but I think if we try this, they said, did you hear me? I said, but she's my daughter. And they said, you still didn't hear me, did you? And I, so Bethany would have to come in the room with me, and all together we'd have to talk, but I could not talk to the counselor without Bethany. So again, if you want safety and you got something that's really eating you up and you need to, go get a professional counselor. It may cost you a little money, but it makes you feel better to get off your chest and know that that person doesn't know you. That's cool. And you're not going to hurt my feelings. I promise you, it will not hurt my feelings. And there's times when the people come to me, the pastoral counselor knows when to send them somewhere else. I've sent people to other places many times. So don't, and especially if there's any medication, send them somewhere else, because I can't do that. All right? I can give you sweet tarts. I can give you sour jelly bellies, but that's about it, okay? So here we go. You may think you want to develop closer, more honest relationships, but if your emotions still need confirmation from others, listen to this now. This is so powerful. You may think you want to develop closer, more honest relationships, but if your emotions still need confirmation from others, your communication will be self-focused and insincere based on your beliefs. Meaning, if I've got to have your approval before I feel complete, then I'm not going to say anything to you that's going to cause me to believe that I will lose your approval. Okay? So I really can't be as honest as I want to be. So it's very important that we're going to talk about that. There comes a time where you just have to let your hair down. You just have to go ahead and pull your sleeves up, and we're going to get in this problem. We're going to get in it, all right? But again, you got to let God open the doors, because if you don't let God open the doors, you're messing up. All right, ready? Here it is, the wrong belief. And most of the people I talk to, not most, but I say a good part of people I talk to, this is where they're at to begin with. Ready? I feel unworthy and inadequate. If I let others know who I really am, I risk their disapproval and rejection. The byproducts of this thinking is low self-esteem, Everybody knows what low self-esteem is. You feel like you're not worthy for anything. Apathy. What's apathy? You just don't care. All right? Bitterness. Now you feel bitterness toward the person you're having a problem with, or bitterness toward the whole body or the rest of your family because they're not going through what you're going through, or you're bitter because somebody has died and left you here, or you're bitter because, I mean, this is heavy duty. Bitterness is a big one. You're bitter because you were left holding the bag. Then there's selfishness. Selfishness does not mean gimme, gimme, gimme. Selfishness just means, again, that I'm protecting myself, and myself is my number one interest right now. I'm protecting me. Usually somebody that's got addictions, they are protecting them. Insecurity. I don't feel comfortable telling you anything because I'm going to risk disapproval and rejection. I'm insecure. Anger. Why are they even asking me about this? Anger. And then pride. I can handle it on my own. Right. So now, here's the right belief. And then we're going to pass out some papers. I want you to show you something. The right belief. My heart overflows with love, significance, and security in Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, now I'm not getting my love, significance, and security based on somebody else. It's based on Christ. Although it's nice to have it from others, I don't have to have it from them to do this. I don't need the approval and acceptance of others to have a God-given sense of self-worth. I am free to communicate honestly and openly. Now, there's a difference in communicating honestly and openly with love and then trying to tear, you know, you think God's called you to be a paint scraper and you sort of scrape the paint off everybody. You know, no, we don't want to do that. You got open and honest with love. Okay? Get ready. We're getting close to the end here. Ready? The byproducts of this thinking is a heart that can, number one, be honest before God. Number two, be honest with others. Number three, see the needs of others. See, now it's outward thinking, not inward. The first one, they're looking through a mirror, looking in the mirror. Wrong belief, they're looking in the mirror. Right belief, they're looking through a window. All right? I can see the needs of others, and I can communicate God's love to others. The Bible tells us to accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Brother Patrick, will you pass these out, please? Last week I gave you some scriptures, and if you get the outline from last week, get the scriptures from last week. But this week, I got a few other scriptures for you. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, For you formed my inner parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. 1 Samuel 16:7, But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on the appearance of the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Get ready. Here's our scriptures. Last week it was, what has Christ done for me? This week is, who am I? All right? This is so awesome. If you're having a problem one day and you're feeling insecure, or feeling like you don't feel like you have any love, or you feel like it's one of those days where you're really just kind of feeling blah, because everything seems to be going the wrong way, pull this sheet of paper out and start reading it. Ready? I'm just going to go down the list. Matthew 5:13, I'm the salt of the earth. He said, we are the salt of the earth, right? I'm the light of the world. Of course, he is the light, but we are the light. In other words, we are his light reflected. Amen. He's the light, but we're his light reflected, okay? I'm a child of God, part of his family. John 15:1-5. I am part of the true vine, a branch of his, Jesus' life. John 15:15, I am Jesus' friend. Wow, that's awesome right there. 15 and 16, I am chosen and appointed by Jesus to bear his fruit. Acts 1:8, I am a personal witness of Christ for Christ. Romans 8:14-15, I'm a son of God. Romans 8:17, I'm an heir, a joint heir with Jesus, sharing his inheritance with him. 1 Corinthians 3:16-19, I'm a temple, the home of God, his spirit dwells in me. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I'm joined to the Lord and am one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 12:27, I'm a member of Christ's body. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm a new creation or a new person in him. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, I'm reconciled to God and I'm a minister of reconciliation. Galatians 3, 26, 28, I'm a son of God and one in Christ. Galatians 4, 6, and 7, I'm an heir of God since I am a son of God. Ephesians 1 and 1, I am a saint. Ephesians 2 and 10, I am God's workmanship, handiwork, created in Christ to do the work He planned beforehand that I should do. Ephesians 2, 19, I'm a fellow citizen with the rest of God's people in His family. Ephesians 3, 1 and 4 and 1, I'm a prisoner of Christ. Ephesians 4, 24, I'm righteous and holy. Philippians 3, 20, I'm a citizen of heaven. See in heaven right now. I mean, and these are in succession too. Have you noticed that? Colossians 3 and 3, I'm hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3 and 4, I'm an expression of life in Christ because He is life. Colossians 3 and 12, I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4, I'm chosen and dearly loved by God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5, I'm a son of light and not of darkness. Hebrews 3 and 4, I'm a holy brother, partaker of a heavenly calling. Hebrews 3, 14, I'm a partaker of Christ, a share in His life. 1 Peter 2 and 5, I am one of God's living stones and being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2 and 9, I am part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession to proclaim His excellencies. 1 Peter 5 and 8, I am an enemy of the devil. That's cool. I am an enemy of the devil. Y'all say that with me. I am an enemy of the devil. That's why we have so much problems. 1 John 3, 1 and 2, I am now a child of God. I will resemble Christ when He returns. 1 Peter 5 and 18, I am born of God, the evil one. The devil can't touch me. Psalm 23 and Psalm 100, I'm a sheep of His pasture. Therefore, I have everything I need. Now, the next time the devil starts telling you are nobody, you're nothing, you don't have any, you have any part with Christ, I want you to pull this piece of paper out and I want you to read it to yourself. Just last week, I took last week's paper, and I happened to be counseling somebody that was having a hard time, and I gave them that paper that we got last week of what Christ did for us, and that that person asked me, could they get five more copies? I said, why do you want five more copies? He said, I want to put one in every room in my house. I go in one room, I want to read it, go in the next room, I want to read it, go in the next room, I want to read it, so I gave them five copies. Amen? I'm telling you, this is not my word, this is His word. His word says that we are more than conquerors. Amen? So now, what I want you to do is I want you to take this home and study it and get the outline from last week and the outline and the scriptures from last week. And I want you to take both of these home and study both of these and study the scriptures and put these scriptures up where you can see them and repeat these things back to yourself, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So I remember in my deepest, darkest trials, I can remember so many times going and taking the Word of God and taking a specific verse and making copies of it and cutting it out and putting it in the door. So I walked through the door, I saw it, putting it on the refrigerator, putting it on my alarm clock, putting certain scriptures for all the needs, I put all over the house. Whatever room I went in, when I went through that door, I quoted that verse. When I woke up in the morning, alarm clock, and when I hit the alarm clock, I quoted that verse. When I hit the refrigerator, I quoted that verse. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. And so I went to the refrigerator, and I said, God, thank You. I know You're going to take care of it. Give us this day our daily bread. I get up in the morning and know it's going to be a tough day. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. It's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And I know it works because I do it. Amen? So we're going to do it. And you want to know what's so awesome? One time I was at Fountain, and this is the true story. The sales were down. And I had one of the managers from marketing, and I had one of the other guys from up front come in and said, sales are kind of down. And I said, uh-huh. And they said, we don't know exactly what to do because we're doing stuff we did before and it's just having a hard time. And I pulled out of my pocket one of these scriptures. But not only was it scriptures, there was also prayers that I was praying every day. Positive affirmations and positive prayers along with the scriptures. And I pulled out my pocket and I said, well, you know how I seem to get through everything? They said, how? And I showed it to them. And they said, wow. I said, do you think you could get that to us? I said, sure. So I went to the copy machine and I copied it and I gave it to them. They said, you think you might could spread it around a little bit? I said, okay. So I got a few more and I spread it around. Within a week, I could walk. I walked through all the plant every day. That's my job, was through all the plant. I was looking and just about every toolbox was that paper. And what was so awesome was they came to me and said, we got them out there. And people go by and they're doing like this and they're pointing to their paper. That next month was one of the best months we'd had in sales. I'm telling you, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you're an awesome God. You have an awesome, awesome power. You have an awesome word. Father, help us, Lord, to digest that word and to talk that word into ourselves. You told Joshua to meditate on it day and night, which means actually to mumble the word in your mind all the time. Father, help us to do that. Help us, Lord, to find these positive things. Because Satan is killing us with negative. Positive, positive, positive. Good stuff, not just some off-the-wall mess. Good stuff, your word. I ask you right now, Lord, to fill our mouth with it, fill our heart with it, fill our spirit with it. And Lord, help us, God, to communicate it to others and to watch what you can do. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. Now, Sunday morning starts new song. It's a new series. I'm not even sure how long it's going to last. I do know it's probably going to last at least 3 weeks, maybe four. And I'm not even sure where I'm taking it from this Sunday, but I think it's going to be John 3:16. But everybody in here needs a new song. Amen. When the Hebrews were talking about, the Hebrews said it. David said it all the time. God, I need a new song. Isaiah, need a new song. There's something special about that new song. And we're going to talk about that Sunday. And then we're probably going to be from John 3:16. But, of course, also, Sunday is the day after Valentine's Day. So John 3:16, y'all were scared to say that. Y'all were scared to say Valentine's Day? Well, my wife told me, just make sure I don't give her a bunch of candy. We're all right. So I won't get. So isn't that cool? Don't give me candy. She didn't say anything about flowers, but she said no candy. I said, okay, so no candy. So that's cool. Amen. Because when she gets candy, I like to eat it too. Yes, and that's right. And for every ounce I eat, it puts on a pound. Amen. God is good. All the time. Amen. Let's stand. Tonight has been an awesome night, God. We thank you, God, that you've just got it. You've got it. You've got the answer for every problem. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us to see that. And instead of trying to fix things ourselves, let us let you open the door. And as you open the door, let us go through with confidence with your word. And Father, whether we be on the receiving end, whether we be on the healing end, or serve as the person on the other end that helps them heal, whichever way it is, Father, help us, Father, to have the right amount of boldness and the right amount of love. And to not go in there like John Wayne, but go in there through your guidance. And know that we can make a difference. And Father, also know that whether it's us or somebody else, change doesn't happen as long as whatever we're going through doesn't hurt or is not seen as hurting as bad as trying to fix it. So what we need to do is show the person trying to, when they do come, that trying to fix it may be painful, but it's not as painful as trying to hide it. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.